Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Starting it up, hour number three in Southern California. I am Jim Rome, and I am in the Quicken Loans studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Beautiful day here in SoCal. Hope you're all well. 1-800-636-8686. One phone line open. Back at the calls a little bit later on, but we're joined right now by the pride of Cal State Fullerton. He covers the NBA for the New York Times. It's been a minute or so since we've had him on. Mark Stein is my guest. Mark, my man, what's going on? How are you?
Mr. Rome, I am well. I had to join you, man. You gave my longtime nemesis, Dell Demps from the Pelicans. You gave him bragging rights over me because you had him on a couple weeks ago. So you're helping me even the score today.
You know what, Mark? I appreciate you saying it. In a way, he was kind of like my nemesis, too. That guy was tough. They were tough at Pacific. When he balled
I heckled no one more in the Big West than him. No one.
What was it like back then? What else do you remember about the conference back then? And just so people know who he is and what he does, Mark, he was a tough, hard-nosed player, wasn't he?
Well, you know, I mean, we were lucky when we were in school. We're so old. We were lucky because the league was awesome, and every team in the league had at least one NBA player, and Vegas coming to your gym was like an NBA team coming to your gym. So we were pretty spoiled. It was a different time. But, man, I don't know why, because there were a lot of great players in the conference, but just something about him got under my skin. And he's had a great run this season with the Pelicans. The Pelicans had a great year, and he made some big moves to put that team in position, but I never hesitate to remind him how much I heckled him in college.
I love it. I appreciate it. Mark Stein joining me, and we'll talk Big West ball whenever we can. Listen, in addition to that, there's a lot that I want to cover with you, including your piece in the Times today about Jerry West and his role with the Clippers. But let's start for a moment about Cavs and Celtics. As you pointed out, the non-LeBrons have saved Cleveland at points earlier in the playoffs, but how much tougher is the challenge for them in this series?
I mean, this Boston team, they're the Cinderellas of this postseason, and we all look at them and say, imagine how good they're going to be when they get Hayward and Irving back, but they're not hearing any of that. I mean, they are a problem right now. Brad Stevens is a problem right now. And honestly, I think Horford is their biggest problem. LeBron's going to have to play. LeBron's already been having the best postseason probably of his career individually. He's going to have to play that way the whole series because, I mean, besides Brown and Tatum and all these other guys that Stevens is throwing at them, this Cavs team has no answer for Al Horford. I mean, they just don't have anyone who can guard him. So I think LeBron is going to have to find that level again where he's scoring 40 and going for triple doubles every night. Now he says game one's always a feel out game for him. And you know, his history does show that. I mean, I think he's something like 2-12 in game ones on the road, some crazy stat like that. But I mean, this Cavs team has no margin for error. He really can't wait anymore. I mean, they got to do it in game two right away.
Mark Stein joining us. He covers the NBA for the New York Times. All right, Mark, let me get you to jump over to the Western Conference Finals for a minute. They start tonight, Golden State in Houston. What are your early thoughts on that matchup?
I mean, look, we've all treated that as it's the NBA Finals. And Houston, it probably is the best team that Golden State has faced in this run. They're deeper. I mean, their backcourt is obviously as dynamic as Golden State's, as dynamic as it gets. The question for me is going to be, Houston's going to ask Harden and Paul to do so much, and Golden State with its ball movement, they're going to make those guys move a lot. Do they have enough in the tank at this point in the season to go seven and beat these guys four times if that's what it takes? I mean, that's to me where the series is going to hinge. But, you know, that said, Golden State's bench has been a major disappointment. They don't have the depth that they thought they would coming into the season. So it's really on the Hamptons five. Those guys are all going to have to play well. Maybe not every night. You're not going to get all five across the board playing well every night, but Golden State is really turning to its main guys and expecting them to carry it home. But I think long series is the safe bet.
Mark Stein joining us. He covers the NBA for the New York Times. Mark, one more thought about that matchup. Of course, it's Chris Paul's first appearance in the Western Conference Finals after a long, long journey to even get to this point. How important is that to him?
You know, I think he's realistic enough to know that if they lose in this round and if he has a bad series, he's not going to get any love for getting to the Conference Finals. I mean, this Houston team was built to take the Warriors down, and they're pretty much in a win-it-all-or-bust scenario, just like the Warriors. The good news is we know Houston. If they lose this series or if this series goes badly for them, they're going to keep making moves. They're going to try to get into the LeBron mix this summer. They're not going to stop. It's not like this is that team's only shot. But Chris Paul did just turn 33. So, I mean, he doesn't have an infinite amount of time to get to the finals. All those guys, Harden, Mike, I'm a huge Mike D'Antoni fan. Harden, D'Antoni, Chris Paul. I mean, all of them have big holes in their playoff resumes, and that's, you know, this series is a big referendum for all of them because of that.
Mark Stein joining us. They all do. Every one of those guys do. Now, as I mentioned at the very top, you have a really interesting piece on Jerry West in the New York Times on Monday, and you start with an anecdote from Clippers owner Steve Ballmer. And the fact that it was nearly the end of the season before Ballmer and West actually watched a game together, why was that?
That's not because of Ballmer. That's because of Jerry.
Sure.
Jerry wants to be alone. He wants to be where nobody can hear him so he can just unload, let it fly, use not safe for radio language. And he told Steve Ballmer right away, during games, I don't know that you want to sit with me, but I think Steve Ballmer really enjoys having Jerry West there. It was a massive coup for the Clippers to be able to lure him away from Golden State. And look, you've been in SoCal as long as anyone. You know how, even with the Clippers' success over the last six seasons, just having Jerry there, it gives them a level of credibility that they've never had. And to see him tomorrow night on the lottery dais repping the Clips, I mean, I'm gonna wonder what it's like to be a Laker fan and kind of watch that and watch Jerry repping the Clips logo. That's got to be still a tough one for Lakers fans to take. And look, he's not making the final calls there, but I think having him, Golden State needed the credibility boost when they went after him in 2011, and now he's doing the same thing for the Clippers.
Mark, you're right, though. I mean, him representing the Clippers at the draft lottery is just, it's weird and it's surreal. What does he make of that? I mean, you're right. For the Laker fans, that might be kind of a bitter pill to swallow. What does Jerry West, though, make of that?
Well, it's interesting. I talked to Jerry about it, and Jerry's wife said the same thing as well, that according to Karen West, that Jerry still has a soft spot for all the teams he's been with, and he kind of has a loyalty factor that, you know, look, he told me flat out, if people think I'm rooting against the Lakers, they're crazy. I'm never going to root against the Lakers. And how could he? I mean, he had a 40-year run with them, and there's always going to be a soft spot in his heart for the Lakers. But he is also as crazy competitive. I mean, you put him with Jordan, with Kobe, he is as competitive as any of those guys. And so the competitive streak in him, for sure. I mean, he wants to help the Clippers establish themselves as the team in LA. That, realistically, we know is never going to happen. But look, the Clippers had a really good season, all things considered. Now they've got all this financial flexibility, potentially two lottery picks in this draft. I mean, they've got the pieces to make moves. Are they, you know, if they can go out and trade for a Kawhi Leonard, I mean, that's a pretty big statement, even in Lakerland. So, I think he has a 2-year deal. This is the first year of his deal with the Clippers. Ballmer told me that if Jerry wants to keep going beyond that, he's welcome to stay. I can't see Jerry West retiring. I mean, he needs basketball in his life, and he's still hungry. It's amazing. For everything he's done, he is still really hungry.
Mark Stein joining me. The guy's amazing. I mean, he's about to turn 80. And recently shot 78 and then a 75 at Bel Air. I mean, this guy's shooting below his age. He's crazy competitive. You know he wants to work. He's not looking for any kind of exit ramp or exit strategy at all. Now, you mentioned Kawhi Leonard. What do you think is going to happen with San Antonio? Is there any way they can rebuild that bridge with Kawhi Leonard, or has that been obliterated?
You know, I thought all along that Pop and Kawhi would sit down like Pop did with LaMarcus Aldridge after last season. And if you get Pop and Kawhi at a dinner table, there's no way this thing doesn't get smoothed over. But now, this season was so acrimonious behind the scenes, I'm really struggling to picture it now. I don't know if it can be fixed. I mean, really only Pop knows if he wants to fix it. I mean, that's, I think, question number one. Do the Spurs want to put nearly $220 million on the table after the way this whole season went down? And I think they're going to trade him. Again, no one can really get inside Pop's head. No team guards its thinking closer than the Spurs, but it's just really hard for me to believe at this point that the fences can be mended.
You know, to that point, Mark, you're right. Nobody can get inside Pop's head, and nobody guards that information more carefully than the Spurs. So it's so weird and almost impossible to figure out exactly what happened. Can you even speculate? How did it go so wrong for these two when this guy was the next Tim Duncan? This guy was the next face of the franchise. How did this go south as badly and as quickly as it did?
And you know what? I think that's partially our fault on the outside, is that we all wanted to paint Kawhi as the next Tim Duncan. Oh, he's perfect. He doesn't like the media. He doesn't talk. He's Tim Duncan 2.0. No, you can't expect anyone to be a replica of Tim Duncan. And I think that was kind of our fault in the media. I think really what's happening here is Tim Duncan. This is my 25th season covering the league. More than any other superstar I've ever covered, Tim Duncan is 1,000,000,000% organization first, and he gave Pop all the latitude to make all the rules, and everyone in San Antonio had to fall into line. LaMarcus Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard are modern superstars. They want a lot of say in what goes on, and there is nothing wrong with that. This is the modern NBA. This is the age of player power. We saw it last. And Chris Paul forced his way to Houston. Paul George forced his way to Oklahoma City. No one in this league flexes their power more than LeBron James. And Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge, they want to say in what happens. And I think it's really hard for the Spurs to come to grips with that because they haven't had to deal with it for two decades. And now they find themselves in the same position as pretty much every NBA team. And so I think it's an adjustment on both sides. Kawhi is so good when he's healthy. I think they have to try to fix it if they can, because he is not going to be easy to replace at all. But I don't know. I just wonder if too much has happened for this thing to be repaired.
Mark Stein, my guest. Mark, one last thought before I let you go, and it goes back to your piece on Jerry West. You know, if we go back to Jerry West's time with Golden State, he was one of the people who was against trading Klay Thompson for Kevin Love, and that was before Klay was the Klay that we know right now. Now, at the Clippers, though, this year, he was not opposed to trading Blake Griffin, even though that meant dealing a star that they had just re-signed. In your opinion, why was that?
Well, he flat out said, and I think he realized that they were stuck. I mean, when they lost Chris Paul, keeping Blake was going to keep them respectable, theoretically was going to keep them in the playoff mix, but they had no flexibility to do anything. So I think we've seen this in Jerry's history. He's willing to make the unpopular move, and maybe even bigger than the whole Klay thing, at least earlier in his Golden State tenure. You know, he was the one urging Joe Lacob, we've got to trade Monte Ellis. Don't pay attention to how popular he is. Don't pay attention to all the heat you're going to get from this. We've got to break up the Curry-Ellis backcourt. We've got to get Andrew Bogut in here. And that move was maybe not as big, but certainly crucial in the whole Warriors evolution because, you know, it paved the way for a Curry Thompson backcourt, got Bogut in there as a defensive anchor, and things really kind of picked up after that. So Jerry's never afraid to make that move or advocate it. And again, he's not the one making the final decisions there. He didn't trade Blake Griffin. It's obviously an organizational decision. But Steve Ballmer did tell me that Jerry was very clear. do it. We have to do this. You can't worry about the criticism we're going to take. And look, the Clippers did take criticism. You give Blake Griffin $170 million and turn around and trade him 6 months later, everyone around the league is going to say you're heartless. And the Clippers have to own that and wear that. But Jerry West told them, don't worry about that. For our long-term future, we have to do this.
He covers the NBA for the New York Times and does so expertly. The pride of Cal State Fullerton, Big West forever, Mark Stein. Mark, it is so good to get caught up with you. As I mentioned, it had been a minute or two, but really nice to have you back on the show. Let's make sure we don't wait so long next time.
I'm here anytime, man. Thanks for reaching out.
You got it, Mark. My pleasure. Mark Stein, great job he just did. Great content. Very good intel right there. And this guy's all about it. Rome. Mark freaking Stein. Great interview, Jim. There is so much talk about the NBA right now, yet Mark brought such great insight into the current player situations and how the results of these playoffs will affect the next several seasons. Sports is still about players. Mark Stein gave us a great window in. Thanks, Rome. Signed, Chad on the North Coast. War the Pimp getting the nomination. Let's make the Hall of Fame happen, clones. Chad, thank you very much. Mark Stein was great. He used to come on the show quite a bit. And then, because of where he worked, he was unable to do so. But now he works someplace different, and he came right back in. And then I see what we've been missing. Man, he was good. Of course, Big West, baby. We've been underrated. We've been undersold, underappreciated. Big West, y'all. Big West. Mark Stein. Me, Cedric Sabalos, Cal State Fullerton, Brian Shaw, Dell Demps, my man Leon Wood back in the day, another Cal State Fullerton, Bruce Bowen Fullerton, baby, Scotty Brooks, UCI, Tom Tolbert, UCI, before Arizona. I claim him as our own, Tommy T. Jason Stewart, Cal State Fullerton. Man, Cal State Fullerton's like baseball for days. It's an amazing baseball program. Where I live in Southern California, you've got, and since we've done the club league circuit, Jake is 17 now, so he's played for a number of club teams. You've got Cal State Fullerton coaches all over Southern California. And the bigs. Man, don't you sleep on the Big West. Don't you ever freaking sleep on the Big West. He's right. Back in the day, it was great. Back in the day, we'd have, and understand, we're not the ACC. We're not the Big Ten. So when he says things like, hey, back in the day, there used to be an NBA or on every single team in the Big West. That was a big deal. Back in the day, we used to get three teams in the tournament. That was a big deal. Back in the day, we had that package. Big Monday on ESPN. That was a big freaking deal. And back in the day when UNLV was winning national championships, they would come into our house and we were packed 6,000 deep. It was fun. Good times. I am nostalgic. Yeah, Rome, why don't you live in 2018? Oh, I do. I do, but some of the best times of my life were back in the day with the Big West. It all depends where you go to school. Do you want to go to a gigantic state university where there's like 70,000 students, you can have those things. But if you go to a smaller school like the one I went to, UC Santa Barbara, you don't have that. So if you get a taste of it, you get a bit of it, you never forget. So that was kind of cool for Mark Stein to say, remember when Dell Demps? Remember when we used to see Dell Demps? Hell yes, I do. Dell Demps and I talk about it every single time he comes on. Big West. Reminds me of Clay Matthews saying 818 for life.
The Claymaker.
Okay. Now I'm done. Let's take a short timeout. Open phones the rest of the way. Somebody step up and own it. Casper was created with one goal in mind. Deliver a great night of sleep at an amazing value. This Memorial Day, experience Casper for yourself. Transform your sleep. Casper's team of engineers works nonstop. Prototyping, collecting data, engineering. What is certainly the most comfortable mattress you will ever sleep on. The Casper mattress has a unique combination of foams that provide the right pressure relief and alignment so you feel perfectly balanced and comfortable. And thanks to the breathable material, You're guaranteed to sleep cool all summer long. Try a Casper yourself for 100 nights in your own home, risk-free. They will ship it to you for free in a box that you will not believe. It's so small. And if you don't love that mattress, you don't have to put it back in that tiny box. They will come pick it up and refund you everything, and they will not ask why. Start your summer off right by choosing the internet's favorite mattress this Memorial Day. For a limited time, go to Casper.com. Save 10% off your order with the purchase of any mattress, including free shipping and returns. Casper.com. Terms and conditions do apply. Go to Casper.com and save 10%.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has got practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at Farmers.com. Still getting a lot of reaction to Bryce Harper hitting that ball about 800 feet. Not only the way it looked, but the way it sounded. Dear Rome, can you have Alvin slow down that Harper audio? I think if you listen really closely, you can hear Bryce grunt, "Get!" just before impact. Please and thanks, Tony in Albuquerque, War Kyle submitting gas refills for insurance claims. I didn't hear that, but let me listen very carefully one more time and see if we can hear him scream, "Get!" right after the grunt.
As a player.
Get!
Oh, Bryce Harper.
Wait a minute.
Off and gone.
I thought it was grunt, crack, But I think there might have been a get in the middle of that. Let me hear that one more time.
As a player.
Get!
Oh, Bryce Harper lifts off.
Tony in Albuquerque. Wow, bro.
Oh, man.
This dude's got some good ear. I did not hear that. I did not pick up on that. One more time.
There's a player.
Yeah.
Oh,
this guy's so good. I mean, it's a given that Bryce Harper can do pretty much whatever he wants. This guy can grunt, get, and mash.
Man. Number 13 for Harper.
This email says, "Dear Jim, that Bryce Harper blast puts me to shame." Signed, "That Bat Crack" from Stapp's Dumb Marlin song.
Let's play ball, it's game day.
It sounds better than that. It sounds even better than that. And he'd have to go into the studio to make that sound. Josh in Richmond. That sounds horrible. The other sounds authentic and awesome, but that sounds horrible. Bryce Harper.
Oh, nice.
1-800-636-8686. I said, do not sleep on the Big West. Chris R. Kobos responds on Twitter. I slept on the Big West for 3 days in a row. Signed, Kylan Green Bay. True. In his car. Check that. His hotel on wheels. Kyle in Green Bay did sleep on the Big West. Got time for a phone call. Let's go to Youngstown, Ohio. Rick in Youngstown. Good to have you, Rick. How are you? Go ahead, Rick. You're on the air. Rick. Talk to me, Rick. What's up? You're on the air.
Yes, hello, sir. Mr. Rome.
Rick. What's up?
Hey, I've been listening to you, man, since I was a kid, and my pops used to take me to work with him at Kent State Branch, Salem, Ohio. And, yeah, we'd be out in the work truck listening to you eating lunch. I just wanted to say I'm glad that I found you again on TV, and it's great. I've never had the sack to try to call you, but, you know, here we go.
Oh, man, here we go. Here you are. So, first of all, Rick, I appreciate you and Pops listening. I'm glad you found me on TV. So, after all this time, you decide to make the phone call. What's on your mind, man? What do you want to talk about? What do you got?
Well, you know, I've been listening to Rex call for you know, about a month now. And every time he calls, man, it gives me kind of like a warm fuzzy because he sounds exactly like Butthead off of Beavis and Butthead. And it takes me back. And,
Go ahead. Hawk, pick him up, man. I got you, Rex. Rick, you're good. All right, so he said he sounds like Butthead. You know, off Beavis and Butthead. Well, like there was some other Butthead. I like that qualification. My man Rex sounds like Butthead. You know, off Beavis and Butthead. As opposed to that other Butthead. It's all good, Rick. Hey, Alvin, did you slow that call down? Have you found some technology whereby you can take a live phone call and then play it at half speed? Anyway, Rick, my man, be careful. Got me thinking again about how the other night, several weeks ago, we were looking for something to watch. I may or may not have gotten into a little bit of what Rick may or may not have gotten into. Broke out my laptop, went to iTunes. Janet is like, you know, Jake's out, Logan's here, let's watch a movie. Janet's big on, let's watch a movie. Let's watch a movie as a family. We're all together, put your phones down. I'm like, that's a great idea, babe. And Logan's all about, Dad, can we watch Die Hard? Logan's all, any R-rated movie that's not appropriate. I said, I've got a very appropriate movie for you, son. Beavis and Butthead. I've never seen the movie. Let's watch it. Let's watch it. And Janet started to feel slightly nostalgic. Believe it or not, and I'm not sure my wife would appreciate this, but she and I, back in the day, when that show was the thing, used to watch Beavis and Butthead. Janet and I, before we had kids. And laugh. And so I talked her into it. I'm like, it'll be funny. It'll be funny. We never saw the movie. Let's just do it. I've already downloaded it. Let's do it. And the opening scene was the most hilarious thing ever. Because I may or may not have bumped into an adult beverage. But the funniest thing about it was not so much the scene, but that my 13-year-old son could not stop laughing. And he literally had no idea. Like, he didn't even know it was animated. Logan had no idea what Beavis and Butthead was or were. And then I sit down. He's like, we're watching a cartoon. I'm like, right, son, just watch it. And the opening segment was so hilarious, the kid literally could not stop laughing, which made me laugh even harder. I said, Logan, what are you laughing at? What's so funny? He goes, I don't know, Dad. It's just hilarious, which made me laugh five times harder. Logan, what are you laughing at? I don't know, Dad. It's just hilarious. And essentially, he was laughing at how they looked and how they sounded, which made me laugh. Which brings me to Rick in Youngstown saying that Rex in Albuquerque sounds like Butthead from Beavis and Butthead. Oh, that Butthead. And mailman Casey's in with a tweet. Jim, last time Adam Hawk heard a grunt and a crack like that, he was putting on a golf shoe.
Player.
Dude, are you really? He's going to get an MRI today. Okay, first of all, before I address that, Alvin, that was incredible. Run that back. The grunt, the crack, the sparrow drop. Player. This is what it sounded like when Hawk went against his wife's wishes, and instead of staying home and having breakfast with the family, thought that he'd go out and hit a bucket before anybody woke up. However, there were some of those surveillance cameras, which we have lifted the audio from, and they saw Hawk doubled over and in the fetal position after attempting to put on one of his spikes.
Player.
Hawk, that sounds terrible. No wonder you're in so much pain. Can I get that one more time, Alvin? Just do it.
Player.
Rich Ackerman will understand. All from what? Putting on a pair of golf shoes. Not even a pair, but one. And now he needs an MRI. I guess that chiropractor didn't do you right. All right, when we come back, I'll get the update from Hawk. Now he needs an MRI for putting on his shoes. Man, I am so heavy. Really fat and heavy. In that I went way over. Sorry about that. If you've been waiting on the sports update, wait no more. Here it is. Give me 1 minute so I can retweet this. There you go. Hit me up on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Best tweets get retweeted. And that's a good one. ATP coming up momentarily. Hit us up, 1-800-636-8686. States legalizing gambling. I want to pick that topic up tomorrow. We'll talk about what that means. As I mentioned earlier today, with that Supreme Court ruling, that does not mean you can just get down for the first game of the Western Conference Finals. However, depending on what state you live in and how aggressively they pursue legislation, you can probably get down sooner than later. I wouldn't say tonight for Golden State and Houston, but sooner than later. 1-800-636-8686. ATP brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. That's coming up momentarily. You know, I hate to go throwback with it. I hate to throw it all the way back, but somebody needs to tell me exactly what year it is. Because as badly as I want to believe it's 2018, I'm having a tough time accepting that right now. Because as badly as I want to believe that soccer fans are not exactly who they used to be, there is, of course, video evidence and audio evidence suggesting otherwise. I mean, I thought that I had retired my soccer burns years ago for the rest of my life. I was all set to leave that fight and let the world enjoy nil-nil ties, American teams that can't beat TNT for a World Cup spot. I was fine. I was done. I was good. And then some squad from Hamburg, Germany, got relegated for the first time in 99 years. Relegated for the first time in nearly a century. And the home crowd reacted the way I remembered. You know, road flares, smoke bombs, et al.
Oh no, bad scenes at Hamburg, at Volksburg Stadium, the police on the pitch. This is not how they wanted to go out. Immediately following that Wolfsburg goal, fireworks, flares being let off, play coming to an end, it's suspended, they're going to have to play out the final few seconds there. Hamburg are heading for Zweite Liga, but this is an embarrassing end to the longest running, uninterrupted stay in the top flight. The reaction from the fans, pretty embarrassing.
Pretty embarrassing. Yeah, they had a long run, a really long run, and now they're relegated, and the fans aren't taking it very well. 2018 may as well be 1998. 2018 and road flares are still flying from the stands onto the field. And who the hell had that fistful of M80s? Listen to that clip again and try to count the number of explosions.
Oh no, bad scenes at Hamburg, at Volksburg Stadium, the police on the pitch. This is not how they wanted to go out. Immediately following that Wolfsburg goal, fireworks, flares being let off, play coming
sounds
to an end.
To me like
it's
a war zone,
they're gonna have to play
but it's
out
not.
The final few
it's a soccer
there.
Game. Looks like a war zone, sounds like a war zone, but it's a soccer game. Let me ask the obvious question. Where else does this happen? And again, I don't want to throw it back to 1998, but I got to ask. I mean, where else does that happen? Where do paying customers see a result that they hate and react by lobbing smoke bombs and flares and damn near burn that pitch to the ground? Urine bombs, blood bombs. I mean, imagine the Red Sox dropping one at home to the Yankees, and all of a sudden, there are 100 road flares raining down on the players. Imagine the Steelers losing to the Ravens, and Heinz Field gets smoke bombed into nothing but a thick black cloud. And exactly how do these psychopaths smuggle in road flares and smoke bombs and blood and urine? I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, some major league ballparks, you can't get an opened pack of gum in. I don't know, maybe search some of these lunatics on their way in. Then again, it is the same sport that does allow their fans to bring in heroin and blow to the World Cup as long as they have a doctor's note. Like, I barely want to think that soccer has changed, the world has changed, the world sport has changed. But come to find out, it's the same jacked up, irrational circus it's always been. About the only redeeming thing here is that soccer relegates the worst teams to another league. They should take that another step and relegate their worst maniacal fans to another sport, or maybe just jail. And then don't play games in front of those people ever again. Because soccer fans, not all of them, but many of them still clearly cannot handle it. And by it, I mean soccer. Same as it ever was. The world sport. Or a reason to riot. Yeah, I think the answer is pretty clear. At least it was in Hamburg. Same as it ever were, was, will ever be, a reason to riot.
This is not many. How they wanted to go out.
Let's go to the ATP. Palm Buffalo asks, Rome, are you a sports gambler? Do you bet the ponies and or any other sports? It's really strange. Really, really strange the way I approach that. Yes, I bet on the horses. Totally transparent. I bet the horses. You want something else transparent? It's the one sport I know least about. And yet I bet that. It makes no sense at all. But then again, neither does buying a thoroughbred horse. But I do that too. Yeah, man, it's a gigantic bet. But when I go to the sports book, which is not very often, but if I go gamble, I play blackjack and blackjack exclusively. No, I don't bet the games, believe it or not. Honest. 100% transparency. I do not bet games. Little fantasy stuff. But I don't bet games. Not with points, not straight up. I don't do that. But I will bet the horses. And normally I'll bet my horses. Because that's what I know the most about. I did bet the Derby. I did bet Justify. Made a little jack there. In fact, that was not the only one I made money on. Craig in Louisville asks, Romy, did you ever get any sports injuries or embarrassing injuries trying to play sports a la Hawk? I've been pretty good that way. Tore rotator cuff, working out 1 year. Other than that, I've been pretty good. That sucked. That was not a good injury. Roll over in the middle of the night. Oh! Then there's Hawk. Really quickly, Adam. All right, so bring me up to date. You hit me during the break and said you're going for an MRI. I thought you had a chiropractor working on you.
Dr. Joe? Is that?
Yeah, Dr. Yeah, Joe.
Dr. Joe, jerk. He got, not you, him. Dr. Joe's the jerk.
He's a jerk now.
He got mad at me when I came in last week,
right?
Because it had been a month. And he started in with, well, this is what happens when you wait a month to come see me. You should have been coming in every week. And then in the middle of the treatment, he took a phone call from his divorce lawyer. And as soon as he was done talking to that guy for 5 minutes, he came back and said, you still on your first marriage? And I'm like, dude, I'm 30. I'm still on my first marriage. I barely started my first marriage. And he goes, God bless you. Then he did a really bad treatment that didn't help. And he tried to charge me double on the way out. And I said, I believe my wife negotiated this down to $30. And he said, oh, yeah, yeah, my bad. And then he swiped and said.
But he didn't say to you, yeah, well, that wife that negotiated this down, she'll be your first of many wives. Did he hit you with that?
No, but he was probably thinking that.
I love the way that he had like this assumption. Are you still on your first marriage? As if you will have more than one.
Right. It was weird. The conversation sucked. The treatment sucked. Him trying to charge me double sucked. And that'll be the last time I see him because the back has progressively gotten worse.
I was going to say, but you feel better though, right, Hawk?
No.
You feel better.
I'm getting worse. So I got to go get the MRI from some real professionals finally because ever since I tried to put on that golf cleat and wrecked myself, it's been downhill ever since.
So the moral of the story is if you had just listened to your first wife, you wouldn't be here right now.
My first and only wife. I would not be here right now because I would have just...
Well, you say it's your first and only wife. What does she say?
She's pretty upset
right now.
You might
not be her first and only husband.
If I didn't go to the driving range that day, like she said, none of this would be happening.
And that's what I just said, too. And she's right. None of it would have happened. She told you to stay home, Hawk. And now you have an MRI today.
Yes, I do.
I'll bet you she can't negotiate that price.
I think
that's not $30, Hawk.
I think she's working it right now.
I mean, give it a shot. And if she can, more power to her. But that's going to be tougher to negotiate. That's not some dude working out of some strip mall somewhere, taking phone calls from his divorce attorney. MRI. Where are you getting that done? You getting that done in the back of somebody's trunk, or are you getting that done in a legitimate place of business?
In between, because the hospital we use is not that legitimate.
It's an MRI. You might want to treat that with respect. Hawk goes Hawk again. I've got one thing to say about that. No matter how big or small your team is, Ferguson has got a winning game plan for pro contractors. With thousands of plumbing repair parts, knowledgeable associates, and the largest national footprint in the game, when the pressure is on, you want to count on Ferguson. Could not get to the huge call because it was much more important to get to the update on Hawk and what's going on with his back. He is getting an MRI later today. My thanks to Pierre McGuire, Day-Own Buchanan, Mark Stein, three really good guests. And you clones, thank you very much. Check you back here tomorrow. You have a great day. See you then. We're out.